What's up, Black Men Catch Up comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in four brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
This is a HeadGum Podcast.
The theme?
I want to play the theme.
Just sing it, man.
The woman's work, you want to play that?
Yeah.
Stone.
Shit, hold on, I got it.
You can't hit the note.
Oh, I can. Oh, listen, Max. Oh, can I tell y'all a story about freaking Maxwell?
He's hot? Is that the story?
I mean, no, it is that. But, like, yeah. Maxwell, my ex used to love Maxwell.
Wait, who's Maxwell?
The singer with the...
Get out of here! What is wrong with you?
We have a black man on the show. You gotta get your shit together, man. Like, we need bullshit before. You ain't gonna fuck this up for us now. Okay? Okay? Listen, I feel like I pushed the boundaries of black women listening to the show with
Yo,
this girl thing.
I listen to Backstreet Boys.
No, man, listen, what? Maxwell was the first, I mean, I know Lenny was important, but Maxwell was the black dude with the fro, like the nappy fro, but it was cool, you know what I'm saying?
Got it.
Women loved him.
Is that it?
You're right. I'm going to hit it before we start, before we finish
it's
this.
It's hard. It's a hard note to hit.
Oh, I got to look the song up now.
Maxwell, he's the one, which song did he sing? That was the
woman's
one
work.
They making love
woman,
to?
When they make love. I mean, listen, man, I like Maxwell, but Maxwell, I think Maxwell tried to take my girl once. I ain't gonna say your name, but you know the Maxwell story, okay? And the thing is, if Maxwell tried to have sex with your girl...
Who are you yelling at?
I'm yelling at Maxwell, because Maxwell cool, and like, if Maxwell
tried
to have
sex... listen to this.
I'm saying, man, listen, you don't know, man, we black. Black people support black people now, it's cool. It's like, we the FUBU station, you know what I'm saying? They're like, oh... Three Negroes got a show. Listen.
It's supposed to be the opposite of the film.
Wait, but so your girl didn't leave.
I mean, she didn't leave, but my thing is, if it was a chance for her to have sex with Maxwell, I can't be the dude to be like,
yeah,
I gotta support her having sex with Maxwell.
Exactly.
Because yeah. If I try to have sex with Rihanna, and I got a girlfriend like, look, this Riri. I mean, you could come too.
Yeah.
But we ain't gonna say no to Riri.
Sure.
So
that's right.
I listen to Matchbox 20.
Shut up, man. Stop it.
God.
I can't think of one.
Guys, we got a sponsor today.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Don't act so
surprised. What? I'm excited. That's why I'm excited. Oh, that's cool.
Listen, you know what I get excited about?
What?
What's that? When my naturebox.com delicious snacks arrive at my doorstep.
So delicious. Man, that sounds real good.
Mm-hmm.
So delicious.
Because it's like, essentially, it's like, instead of having to go into like a convenience store or a bodega and like try to pick out the snacks that I want. Mm-hmm. And like, I'm like there, like, and there's cats everywhere. I'm like, get out of here, cats.
Get out of here, cats. Yeah, why the cats?
Why are cats everywhere?
Are they in the bodega?
Yeah, they're in the bodega.
Cats in bodega.
I'm like,
cats.
Is this sanitary? You know where I know it's sanitary? Snacks from naturebox.com.
Okay, but this is my thing. Yeah. It's like, I love snacks from mm-hmm. naturebox.com. But this is the thing. Like, sometimes I like my own snacks. And then I live with James, and James likes to eat my snacks.
Hey.
Like, can I get him his own, like, supply of naturebox.com?
Is that possible?
That is possible. And there's zero chance of getting bored because they release brand new choices every single month.
Yo, check it out. New this month?
What they got?
Mini cocoa Belgian waffles.
What?
Whoa, that
yes.
sounds amazing.
Whole wheat chocolate chip cookie bites.
Mm-hmm. Delivered directly to your doorstep.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Fun, flavorful snacks made with ingredients that you can trust.
Right.
Oh, yes.
Not none of those shady ingredients.
You mean like the half... fructose corn syrup.
Yeah, I didn't think they got any of that in these snacks.
Yeah.
These are ingredients you can trust. Plus, they've got a smart snack guarantee. So if there's anything you don't love, you know, the helpful folks over at Nature Box, no, and they'll replace it in the next month's box.
So, okay, ooh. say I want to sign up, right? But it's like, man, you know what? That's a, like, I don't want to pay for the first box. You know, yeah. It's like, I don't want to pay for it myself.
Okay, Jira.
Yeah.
Listeners, right now, you can enjoy your first box of NatureBox snacks on them.
Wait, what?
On them?
But only at naturebox.com/black. And only if you act fast. You got to act quick.
You got to be quick to get
you gotta
it.
You got to hear it. Do it. Okay?
I'm doing it right. I'm going to.
Head to naturebox.com/black. Naturebox.com/black right now to unbox a world of taste and possibility.
Oh, my goodness. Sounds like a surprise.
It does.
One last time. Can we do it together? That's naturebox.com/black for your first box of Beyond Tasty handpicked snacks sent directly to your doorstep. Do it. We're going to get into the show.
Wait. Hold up.
What?
We should shout out Spreaker.
Spreaker.
Oh, yeah, Spreaker. Spreaker.com.
Spreaker hosts all of the HeadGum Network podcasts, and we just got to thank them. Yeah. We got to thank them for that.
Thank That's him. Probably how you guys are listening to us right now.
Yes.
That's how I listen to us. And you know what? They hooked us up.
Mm-hmm. Yo, you know who else hooked us up?
Who?
John Swan.
He did a theme song, right?
He did our theme song at John Swan Jovi on Twitter.
John Swan Jovi.
John Swan, thank you so much for this theme song you about to hear in your earbuds.
Drop the beat!
Jonathan Raylock.
James the Third.
Drop Milligan.
What more can I say? You know what it is.
Like men can jump.
What's up? Welcome to another episode of Black Men Can't Jump in Hollywood. I am your host, Jonathan Braylock.
I am Jerome Milligan.
And what?
Oh, hold on, wait. James is not here.
James the Third is not here.
He is not here, but we got a special guest.
We got the most special guest.
Oh, we got a super special guest.
It's the first time we're having a guest on the show.
Oh, man, this is our first guest, and it's a lady. Oh, and, to make it even specialer, a black lady.
It's a black lady.
It's a black lady.
Oh, please say hello. Don't do that.
Okay.
Please say hello.
I tried to do a drum roll, y'all.
To the one and only Phoebe Robinson.
Woo!
Hi.
Oh, yeah.
Phoebe.
How are you guys doing?
Great.
We're good. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I'm happy you're here.
Very happy you're here.
Because we always talk about getting a guest. And yes. I know we always wanted a lady guest in particular.
Yes.
But it's also really good to get a black lady guest because I feel like we talk about a lot of racial things.
Mm-hmm. You know, you feel black, like it?
I mean, I'm just saying. But it's also like relations between black and white. And you're a black lady, so it's like, I want to get your, you know, we're going to get there. There's so many things.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Phoebe picked the movie for this, and it was actually a movie we wanted to do anyway, so we're very happy she picked it. So we're doing Love and Basketball.
Yeah, we're doing something special, so instead of, I guess it still kind of counts because New Line Cinema did this
New
movie.
New Line Cinema, yes. I was like somewhat, I was like, oh wait, was this an independent film? And
It wasn't.
It was directed by Gina Prince-Bythewood.
Mm-hmm.
This was her debut, feature-length directorial film. She had done like, I think she had directed episodes of like...
Yeah, she did a lot of comedies
TV
on TV.
And like, I think some episodes of Different World, I think. And
first off, Different World, if you guys haven't started watching it, I restarted it. As an adult man, and I think it's a really good show. So check it out on Netflix.
It's on Netflix now?
It is on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
That's exciting.
Now.
It's really good because I realized that there's no show like that for like my, I hate to keep saying minorities, but like, man, fuck it. There's no black people on TV that like go to college.
Right.
Right.
And like, there's just.
It was a spinoff of Cosby Show, which was also.
Don't say the C word in this.
Okay.
We don't say
down.
A C word on the show.
We're not rewriting history.
Yeah, it's a spinoff.
You can.
We say it's a spinoff of another show. Okay.
We can talk about
I don't know
the
what
Cosby
said.
Show.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
Oh my God.
I didn't hear it.
You're insane.
I didn't say it. Okay. I never liked them anyway. I'm not gonna get into that. He gonna tell me to pull my pants up.
All right, my pants
already up. Cosby. Okay.
Okay. You get to talk about your Cosby. All right. Look, we're not talking about Cosby. We're talking.
But this movie though. Back to Love and Basketball. The cool thing about this movie though, when I was researching it, is that
it was actually like starring a black man and a black woman with a majority, like minority cast. But somehow this movie became, you know, not like a black movie. It was like a movie that somehow crossed the threshold of like mainstream without even trying, you know?
Yeah. Totally. So I think so that's cool. So Phoebe, when you saw, did you see this film in theaters or you saw it on DVD first?
I think I saw it on DVD.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It came out in 2016
when it came out.
Yeah.
Phoebe, what's the deal? What's the deal with black women in this movie? Because I feel like Loving Basketball is like the black woman's notebook. Because when I saw like every black woman's like, yo, we gotta watch Loving Basketball.
Wait, what did you just say?
Because like Loving Basketball is the black woman's The Notebook. Every black woman loves Loving Basketball. Right. Every white girl loves The Notebook.
Right, right.
That's accurate.
So it's like, sure. You think that's true?
What's the deal with this?
Yeah. It's a well-acted film. The script is good.
Yeah.
And smaller dramas historically tend to do well with women.
Right.
Because they tend to have female characters who are fleshed out as opposed to just like, my husband's so crazy. I'm just going to stand in the corner like it's like an actual person who like has feelings. Mm. And, you know, you have Sanaa Lathan, who like every black girl loves.
Boom.
You know?
She's amazing.
So it's, yeah.
This was her, and this was also her first starring role. So.
Right.
I would say it's definitely, it's starring a black man and a black woman, but it's definitely a female.
It's a female driven.
Driven
sports
drama.
Movie, which I think is also incredible. Makes it really unique that it's focusing on female sports in a way that I feel like most people don't know how to demonstrate female sports.
Yeah, very true.
And a lot of people don't take it seriously. Just like that guy who, the guy who worked at ESPN or whatever, or sports, he worked for somewhere. He tweeted about how, female sports isn't worth watching because he was like trashing the Women's Cup.
Oh my God. For real?
Yeah.
Wait, I didn't hear about this. He was trashing the women's. That doesn't make any sense because the women's soccer in the U.S. is
actually
way better.
Right.
They just won the World Cup.
They won the World Cup again.
Yeah.
They've already won the World Cup before. When did they win it? Like
1999?
This is the third time.
Yeah.
The men have
never won
the World
Cup. We've never even been to the World Cup. We've never been to the finals, right?
Yeah. Oh, hell no.
I feel like the farthest the men's got.
It's first round.
No, they got past that. But they've never gotten to like the semifinals, I don't know.
No. I mean, it's with two rounds.
Listen, I don't watch that much soccer, but.
I watched soccer when the World Cup.
But that guy trashed sports, and then he's like, actually, no women's sports are worth watching. You're just like, go die in a fire.
Yeah, that's absolutely ridiculous.
So it was really cool with this movie that it was like showing a girl who's not like, ooh, can you show me how to shoot a hoop?
Right.
It's like, no, she has her own agency. She can play ball.
Right.
She's got a banging bod.
Right.
She's smart.
All of that stuff. From the jump,
not,
too.
She's not trying to have her hair look super.
Yeah. That
cute.
I love.
That's great.
Oh, my God.
That's great.
Just like, so some background for listeners. And I did a lot of research about this. So, first of all, Gina Price Bythewood, she was an athlete. Mm-hmm. So, it was very important to her to like portray a female sports athlete who also could have like a romantic interest and not like have to be
she could be a human.
Yeah, she can be a human. She's like fully fleshed out. Mm. But it was also very important for her to like have the lead actress, Sanaa Lathan, be able to play basketball.
Mm-hmm.
So like this film has a little bit of notorious casting. It took them like 3 months and like Sanaa Lathan was always in the mix, but because she wasn't good at basketball, they like gave her a coach, like a.
She had to ask for the coach.
Yeah, she had to ask for the coach. That's right.
For the coach.
Because they were trying to cast. They were like they kept bringing in real NBA.
It wasn't around.
It was college. Yeah. So they kept bringing in real college athletes, female athletes, and they got them acting coaches. And she was like, "Well, if you're getting them an acting coach, you should get me a basketball coach."
Sure.
And then at the it took them a while, and it took fighting from other different sides, not just Gina, because Gina. It kind of actually, I read she didn't like.
Yeah, Gina like
she didn't get along with her.
Yeah, Gina like apparently the husband kind of made the final decision like, do you want a basketball movie or do you want a love movie? And she's like, well, I need to make a close up. So
yeah, you can. She said you can fake. Yeah, you can fake like a jump shot,
but you can't fake.
But you can't fake a close up. Yeah,
which is true, man.
Yeah,
yeah. That's why I should stop getting rappers and putting them in y'all movies because the rappers,
all right, you're up.
Okay, the rappers can't act. They just rap. okay? I'm going to bring this up every episode because if I see motherfucking Tyrese or T.I. in another movie.
Gerard doesn't like Tyrese.
Yo, my thing is this. T.I. be in movies nonstop. T.I. is working, and I don't even understand what T.I. says half the time. You know what, Tip? I love your music.
Nah, he's gonna never try in kill anything me. Good, so why do you care?
Because that, because this is my thing.
Wait, though, that wasn't small he in role, American Gangster?
He's an American Gangster. He was just in Ant-Man. Because the thing is,
he was in Ant-Man?
Oh, he's in Ant-Man. He's one.
Who
he's
gives
one of the
shit
dudes
about that movie?
Well, let me tell you why. This is the thing, because
seriously,
no. Because if you think about it, like sometimes you look back at like a George Clooney, you're like, oh man, he had a very small role in this thing. Whereas, like, for instance, you don't see like it just doesn't have the small role or the one line in the movie to build his resume. Usually, he has to wait and struggle to get the one big thing.
Wait,
like,
who does?
Like Idris Elba, like, you know, mainly like black dudes. It's like
you have to do supporting roles in films before you get the lead role.
The big, and I feel like those supporting roles now, instead of going to like the actor to build his resume,
but that's
not
true though.
Who else? Who you got? Like, who you got? We don't see. Yeah, like, who we got?
I mean, most of them are actors. Most of them are not rappers. Just like Michael B. Jordan.
You got Michael B. You got. I'm trying to think. Young ones.
Chadwick.
We got Michael B. We got
Chadwick Boseman.
Mm-hmm. We got. What's the dude? Nate from.
From Beyond the Lights.
We got.
Which is a Gina Prince.
I mean, my thing is, when I think about most of the working actors right now, I see Common in a lot of movies. I see T.I. in a lot of movies. Mm-hmm. I see Kid Cudi's in a lot of movies. Now I forgot what name he goes by now.
Andre 3000.
Andre Tyrese. So I feel like a reason.
Andre's been in two movies.
I mean, he's got the biopic.
Right, that and the.
He's done a couple here and there.
Four Brothers.
But my thing is, like, I feel like the reason we don't have that many, like, at least when it comes to black men, I won't say the same thing as for black women. The reason we don't have that many black men getting nominated for Oscars is because we don't have a lot of trained black men getting these good supporting roles, these good leading roles. It's always like, the minute I can name like the young ones. Like,
but I feel like you guys do get nominated.
How often? I mean, because last time.
As opposed to black women?
I think for both, it's the same. Like,
right.
I don't know, because I feel like in the last couple of years, we had, what's his name from 12 Years Later? I can never pronounce it.
Chiwetel Ejiofor?
Yeah, he got nominated for an Oscar before him. I'm trying to think. Who's
well,
before
everybody
him?
Knows Oscar's so white.
Yeah, they don't nominate people of color that often anyway. Yeah. So.
I mean, that's true, but it's also, it's like, I feel like if we could get more people who are actually trained to do a job,
right,
to do their job, then we don't have to worry about, like.
No, I don't think that.
You don't think so?
No.
Because my thing is, like, if I was like a painter, all right, and I never learned how to paint, how can I be considered a successful painter?
I think, okay, so. I don't want to talk about the rapper thing right now just because there's no rappers in this movie. And
yeah, true.
And Gina Prince-Bythewood is one of the reasons her films take so long to get made is because she has to fight these studios to like cast black actors in the films.
Even now?
So, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
so
man.
She had this whole last year a movie came out called Beyond the Lights that she made and it was still a critical success. Like, it debuted at like Toronto International Film Festival, got a standing ovation. But she was saying that when she took her script, and she had already produced two movies, both critical successes, both Love and Basketball and Secret Life of Bees. And she took her script to like studio after studio, and they were like, you need stars in this film. And like, but when they said stars, they mean like not minorities, because the roles are too young, and like kind of this is kind of what this podcast is about, is that there aren't enough black stars, quote unquote stars, because they're not being groomed, they're not being farmed.
She gonna get Michael B. Jordan?
So no, she got two amazing actors to be in the film.
But it's not Michael B. Jordan.
But
no,
they're
not.
Well, Michael B. Jordan wasn't a star when she was trying to do this.
Yeah,
yet.
this was
pre Michael B.
This was pre Fruitvale.
This was Fruitvale Station was what put Michael B. on the map and got him the.
Oh damn, we gotta get
Fantastic
more Michael B.'s.
Four. Yeah, well, this is what we're doing. This is what we're doing now. Anyway, okay, so let's just.
Gotta get more.
First of all, I wanted to go back to Phoebe's like first experience with this film. Like, do you remember it? Like, first of all, the concept of like black films. Like, did you understand what that was? Like, 16. Did you feel like, oh, this was a movie for like black people, or like this is like a movie for everybody? She's like, okay, race is boring.
I stayed up late. So, backstory, I broke up with my boyfriend this past week. So I'm staying at a new place. So anyway, I'm crashing at a friend's place. It took me a while to fall asleep because it's not the bed that I'm used to falling asleep in. So I'm a little tired. Anyway, so that's why I yawned. Not because of you guys, just because it took me a while to fall asleep last night. Anyway, I think when I was 16, it was probably just felt more like just like a movie.
A movie, right?
Yeah. But yeah, so I saw it when I was 16. And then I think I saw it probably a couple of times, like in my 20s again. And I just saw it recently again for this. But yeah, I mean, I like still remember like the dialogue when I was watching, like certain parts of it.
Right.
But yeah, I really enjoyed the movie. And I wish there were more movies made like this.
But yeah.
It's really hard for people to want to make small movies anymore.
That's true, too.
Do you ever feel like, for instance, growing up, because I know, you know, I like comics or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I know, like, when I grew up, it was like, oh, man. I never thought about it until I got older, but it was like, you know, if I see Batman, I never realized that I could never play Batman in a movie unless there's other black people, because, like, clearly you can tell. Did you ever feel like growing up there weren't a lot of people that you could relate to? Or was it, like, your parents? Because I know some people's parents have, like, one of my friends, they only can watch, when they're growing up, they only can watch, like, black movies, and they only can have, like, you know, black statues in the house and like artifacts, so they know where they come from. Mm-hmm. But I feel like I have a little cousin now where like she watches a lot of Nickelodeon, so she doesn't see a lot of like, especially black women on TV. Did you ever feel like watching like these shows, these movies, there was nothing for you to like
well, relate? I mean, I think I grew up during like the last, or like the best era for black people
on TV.
Mm, and there's just like tons of sitcoms and dramas, and
absolutely
I could pretty much relate to anyone,
right?
So like I loved the show Felicity just as much as I, you know, love like A Different World or like Sister. So for me, because I was able to have both of those, I was able to just see people who look like me on TV,
right?
And it didn't, so yeah, I think people growing up now who are people of color, it's probably way harder for them. But yeah,
which is crazy, right? That's crazy. That some, how did we regress? Like, that doesn't make any sense to me.
The UPN got, but see, UPN went away.
UPN is the same. So here, this is an interesting thing, right? UPN, because I'm with you. Like, I, like growing up, I didn't think about like, oh, this is a black show and this is a white show. Like, I was looking at Fresh Prince and Full House or Family Matters as like the same thing. It was just sitcoms on TV. So you had like something like Home Improvement or Step by Step. But yeah, but you also had like, exactly, like Keenan and Kel, you had The Cosby Show, you know, you had
Don't
A Different World.
I know,
I'm
not
about
out.
To say, you said the C word,
okay,
I'm staring at him.
Oh my God.
I'm staring up and saying the C word in here, okay?
But you had these shows with like black families, like even a little bit later with like the Wayans Brothers Show.
My Wife and Kids.
My Wife and Kids, D.L. Hughley Show. And so like, but then I remember, I think it was in, I don't know if it was middle school or high school, where I realized somebody told me, like I grew up in like a white suburb, and like somebody, like one of my friends was like, oh yeah, UPN is the black network. And I was like, what? And they're like, oh yeah, that's where all like the black people shows are. And I realized, I was like, oh right, they had like Sister. And
they had everything, Kim, dude.
You know, Martin.
Homeboys
right,
and Outer
Martin
Space.
Was on Fox.
Oh, sorry, they had
You said Homeboys and Outer Space?
Yeah.
Man, I remember watching that show. Oh, man. That show
it's
was
not
crazy.
Good.
That show was not good.
The Parkers, right?
Yeah, they had the Parkers.
Yeah.
To me, the black television ended when, what was that show? Girlfriends. Girlfriends was on UPN, and then UPN merged into CW with Warner Brothers. And once Girlfriends ended, to me, that ended the reign of like the black sitcom.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. It was weird that all of a sudden it became like, black sitcoms used to be on every network, and then all of a sudden it got smaller and smaller, and then it was just like, the black sitcoms that were on this network were just reruns on UPN, and then UPN was the only one producing black. And so, I didn't even realize this until Gerard brought it up when we started doing this podcast, but New Line Cinema
is
like the black production company of Hollywood. If you look back at New Line Cinema, like most of like the films
Friday,
that, yeah, they're
Friday,
all, it's all
this
New Line
movie,
Cinema,
Love
which is
Basketball?
This movie, which is crazy because I never saw, like, when I saw Love and Basketball, I saw it probably on DVD too, but when I saw it, I wasn't thinking of it like, oh, this is a black movie. I was like, oh, this is it was one of the, if not the first, like, romance kind of movie that I like.
That's so cute.
Yeah, you know, it's true. It's like one of like the first romance movies that I actually liked, that I was like, oh, I liked the whole movie. And I was like, oh, this is a You know what I mean? Like, even like something like Titanic, I didn't really, I only liked the last
half.
She's
going to help him. Why couldn't they share that door?
That movie's
door?
Garbage.
They could have shared that door. She let that man
listen,
die.
Listen, I remember there were two cassette tapes I put in the second one, because right when you put in the second one, that's exactly when the iceberg hits. And that's why I loved what
I can I make a confession about this movie? About Love and Basketball?
Love and Basketball, yeah.
I never saw Love and Basketball until we did this podcast.
Yeah, that's messed up. You yelling at me for not knowing who Maxwell is.
No, but this is the thing. I always
both
knew.
Both of you are worth
listen, I always, listen, I always knew it was a good movie, but the thing is, like, I felt like I had missed the opportunity. So what I did was I skipped to Brown Sugar.
How do you miss an opportunity when it's on DVD
forever?
I
know, but it was like no. All the girls were like, you got to watch a movie. And I was like, oh, man, I missed it. So I remember taking a girlfriend I was seeing at the time. I think it was like high school to go see Brown Sugar. Because I was like, oh, it's the same thing. They grew up when they were younger, and they become like in the same business kind of, and it both has an Ollie in it.
That's unacceptable.
You're right. It is not the same.
That's not okay.
This is much better than Brown Sugar.
You should leave this podcast.
I'm sorry. I cried a little bit. I cried a little bit during Brown Sugar, though.
That's a great movie. I used to work at New Line Cinema.
Did you?
Yeah. When I graduated, because I moved here because I wanted to work in film.
Right.
And so I was a receptionist there when did I graduate college? So 2006. And then, like, a year later, I started working for their indie production company. And then that got shut down. And then I stopped working in film.
Right.
To start doing stand-up.
Is New Line Cinema still around?
I feel like...
New Line is still around.
It is still around?
They have a reduced slate. So I think they do 8 movies a year now, which is, like, not a lot.
Right.
But, yeah, they're still around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess what... So, let's just talk about the film just for a little bit. One of the reasons that... To me, this movie was different. It didn't feel like just like a black film, like a black movie. And it felt like a universal film. One, it's middle class black families, right?
Yes,
or even upper middle class black families. And they don't, and it's not like a thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, even in, like, I like the show Blackish. I think it's important that it's on ABC. Mm-hmm. But like, it's like they make it a point to let you know, like, we're now in like an upper middle class area, you know what I mean? It's like the black family moving in, and it was just like oh, there are black families that it's like a black high school with very few white kids around, but there's no like poverty isn't not being dealt with. It's not like this understanding of like oh, this is new money or whatever. It's just like it's normalizing.
They live in Baldwin Hills, which is like the rich, which is the black Beverly Hills, I think. Baldwin Hills. It's in Los Angeles, and it's a shot with them in the car, and you see Baldwin Hills in the background, so you're like, oh, these people have money.
Right.
You know?
One of the other things that I thought was important was that both fathers were in the home, even though the one father eventually... trying to take away my notes.
You're not James Lipton.
She's like, give me those notes.
Listen.
Yes.
I'm trying to be... I'm trying to tell the people what they need to know.
Just so you guys know, Braylock had a notebook
that
we made him put away. Then he took his phone out.
Phoebe threw it off the table.
He took his phone out on the low, but had more notes. He had backup notes in the phone.
I was like, why does he keep looking down? And I was like,
oh, he got more notes.
No, anyway, screw y'all.
Oh, that's so funny.
I'm trying to be a good, hard worker here. Listen, yeah, but anyway, what did you guys notice that? Like, both fathers were in the home. It wasn't like this. Even because I thought in the beginning, I was like, oh, maybe this father's, like, going to leave. Like, you could tell that the father was, like,
Sounds
cheating.
Like you're something, yeah.
But you thought it was going to happen in the beginning. And I thought it was cool that it actually played out over a long period of time. And I thought it added more depth to the story. And it added more depth to the scenes between him and his son. Because it was, like, it wasn't just this stereotypical, like, you're a horrible father. Get out of here. It was, like... This father gave good advice, but he just, like, himself...
He was a hoe.
Yeah. He was just an immoral person.
Yeah.
And, like, he couldn't do better, but he wanted his son to be better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is, like... I mean, I feel like any parent can relate to that,
exactly.
Right? Like, they want their children to be better than they are. And
do
then
as
it's
I say,
like,
not as I do.
Exactly.
That's my mom. My mom used to say, do as I say, not as I do. I'm like, Mom, you ain't going to bed right now. But get your ass to sleep. That's what she used to say. If I was like trying
Your
to stay
late.
Mom has
a deep voice.
I know. She used to get passionate like that. Boy.
She's going, what?
Boy, if you don't get. You don't get. She's country, guys. Just, you know, super country. No, but I think that movie was. I will say this.
watching Love and Basketball, there was a couple of things that I thought might have came off corny, but I love the fact that, like, no, it was good. I liked it, though. I did. I liked it. Because the poster is literally, like, the poster is them hugging, kissing with a ball in there.
Like, it's perfect.
It's perfect.
Next.
The director didn't like the poster.
I don't like it either.
She didn't like the poster.
You know what?
It sells the movie. It sells the movie. I get it.
I love the poster. I think the poster is great. The poster that she liked, I saw, it's just like them, like, it's like him behind her and they're like kind of like holding each other and there's like a basketball like on the floor. And I'm like, it's not good. It's just not as good. That was like the one thing I was like, oh, I'm glad they overrode you on that. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, because the poster they picked, don't get me wrong, it tells you exactly, like, if you didn't see the title, you knew exactly what that movie was. Two people who loved each other. And they play basketball.
But not only that, I like the imagery of the basketball being over their head, because there's like the basketball was something that they had to overcome for their love. Like, they both put basketball ahead of each other at one point. I mean, that's one of the major points of the film.
But he was the dick about it.
He was the dick about it.
So it's like, fuck you. I'm glad his career ended.
That's true. Because, like, he is not, like, in that movie, he does some... Let me take two points.
This is a classic gender story in which...
Break it down, Phoebe.
There you go. Take a sip of water real quick. Phoebe's about to preach.
Okay, so this is just a classic tale in which most men, I will not say all, cannot handle when their lady is successful or has really good things happen career-wise. Uh-huh. So I get that she... probably should have been like, come back to my dorm room and we can talk, even though I have curfew.
But she did say that.
She did, though.
He was basically a D-bag.
Yeah.
And then, like, he didn't give a shit when she was she got the starting position. It was just kind of like, she's been there for you this whole time.
Right.
She, like, doesn't freak out when all these girls are hollering at you at college, and you can't even give a shit about the fact that she's now starting. This is something she's worked for her whole life. So at that moment, I was like, you can go fuck yourself. The classic guy stuff.
Wait, but now I am interested, though. I am interested, though, because do you think if the role was flipped and, like, she was going through, like, a very, like, kind of ground-shattering experience that was happening with her family in her life, and he was like, sorry, I gotta go play basketball.
No, because society teaches women to stand by their man and support them, and they don't tell men to stand by their ladies and support them.
Right,
that's very true.
I believe that.
I mean, that's very true.
But I also think that men get in trouble for doing the same thing of like putting work or putting like some other passion before.
Well, I think that's also a double standard, because it's like at the end of the day, it's like that may be true, but. I mean, it sucks, because, like, that's true. It's like, if you work more than focus on your family, now you kind of are an asshole. Mm-hmm. But in the same stance, it's like, if your woman doesn't support you, now she's the asshole. So to me, it's like, it sucks as a double standard, but you just got to play that role. It's like, you got to be a husband who is also there for his family. And it's also almost like, if you're a lady, you're expected to just be there for the dude. But
exactly.
It's tough, because I know being brought up, it was like, I was brought up around a bunch of women. So, like, I remember being taught that, like, I mean, I've been around women who make more. Like, in my family, like, my entire family, the women make more than the men in most of the households.
That's awesome.
Which is interesting, because most of the men seem very cool with that. But I know, I'm trying to think how I would feel if, like, shit was going to shit with me and my girl was just doing great. Because you want to be, think about if you have a friend that's, like, things are kicking off of them and you're still struggling. Like, you're happy for them, but it's also like, damn.
But I mean... I agree that this happens all the time. I think in this film, though, I don't think that's what she was trying to say. I think she was, like, trying to paint this picture of, like, he was going through a very, like, hard time, like, emotional time. And because of that, he just needed her to be there.
He jumped quick, though.
She said, come back with me.
Yeah. He was being very, and he was overly emotional, and he couldn't handle it, because he couldn't handle what was happening, because it just happened.
And then he started talking to
in the same scene.
I agree.
Girl.
That was messed up.
In the same scene, though.
What I'm trying to say is, I think that she realized, like, oh, I probably could have handled this situation better, and maybe I could have stayed out. I think there's a time where you're like, all right, I'm willing to risk this just a little, like this one curfew thing.
Nah.
But she said, come back with me.
Come back to my room.
She said everything she could have. And the thing is, that's so crazy. That same scene,
She walks up on him as he's talking to the other girls. He didn't even give her a chance. And then the next morning, he invites her out
to
breakfast.
Burger King?
Yeah.
I don't know if it was the next morning, though.
I feel like we were supposed to think that it, like, there was a couple of days and stuff.
That's even if.
Even if.
But like, that's what I'm saying, that she hadn't been there. She hadn't, like, he just went through, like, possibly the biggest, like, you know, moment of his life. And then...
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, I feel like if you, like, for instance, if your girlfriend, something bad's happened, and you're like, hey, come over and, you know, let's chat about whatever bad happened in your life. Like, if something really extreme happened, all you can do as a spouse to say, hey, let me try to take your mind off it. Let's talk it out and let's figure out how we can help. And right. She did that in the movie. She said, hey, come back to my dorm.
She had to leave before he, like.
But she said, come with me. She's like, hey, something's wrong. Do you want to come and talk about it?
He was saying, I need to be outside. Like,
he said he didn't want to see people, but it's like, you're going to go to my dorm room. You won't see anybody. Suck it up. Go back to
your room.
Because what else
could she? My thing is, like, what other options did she have?
What I'm saying is, he was in
an emotional. You taking Omar's side.
No, I'm talking about any person who's in a relationship. It doesn't matter if you're male or female. When your partner is going through something very, very heavy, it's hard for that person to act rationally. I'm not saying he did the right thing, but he was going through.
What else could she? I guess my question is, what else could she have done?
All she could have done was stayed with him. But she would have had to miss her curfew. You're right. She would have had, like, missed the thing. And maybe she could have explained it to her coach. Her coach might have understood. Her coach might have said, screw you. Pick your boyfriend.
He also was drunk, grabbing her ass and putting his finger in her butt. You know what I'm saying?
Wait, that was a different scene. That was later on. Yeah.
I thought that was in the bar. How he handled it after was horrible.
But I'm saying in that initial moment, she could have stayed with him.
Because they were on the bleachers. This is when, remember, they were on the bleachers and they were talking. She looked at the clock and she saw a curfew.
He literally just had been like, my father is cheating. I just found out that my father's been cheating on my mother for, like, my entire relationship. And everything that my father told me, what I built my entire life around, is all false because it came from a man who lied to my face. And she was like, yo, I got a curfew at 11 o'clock.
She didn't say it like that.
That's how he heard it.
But to me, it's like, get that, but my thing is like, okay. She made her curfew, came back, and was like, let's try to work this out. And I get that, like, you wanted it to happen right then and there, but it's like, they're in a business. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I'm with, like, you guys.
So she posted this. Her, she supposed to fuck up her college career.
Because he wouldn't have did it for her.
Exactly.
He wouldn't have did it for her. Exactly. And he hit that line, I never expected you to choose. I'm like, man, you ain't.
There's no way he would have.
Because my thing is, he already had that chick, the second chick, lined up.
Mm-hmm.
But that switch to happen, she was already waiting in the wings. You know what I'm saying?
He's trifling.
He was messed up. He was messed up. He was doing that out of anger and hurt. And I don't think he actually cheated.
He offered her to come out with them.
I know. He was trying to hurt her. Yeah, he was trying to hurt her.
Yeah, that was...
Well, it was... anyway, I think we're just talking... It tells you how good this film was.
It was.
Because it really painted, like, a picture that was very realistic to me. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, this is, like, what a relationship, you know what I mean, like, is like. Yeah. And, like, the pain of that. The pain of the breakup scene, I thought, was like, whew. I felt tense and, like, nervous and stressed. Because, like, it was like, even though you could tell that they both loved each other, but they were, like, they were both kind of stubborn and, like, but they were also just like, oh, like, this is it. Like, we can't fix this. We're just going to let this go. Yeah. And you're like, damn, like.
Yeah, but he didn't try.
No,
they shouldn't have broken up.
Yeah, they shouldn't have. Because it was literally, I'm confused at what's happening.
You know, they say time waits for no one. And neither should payday. To keep your money moving in the direction of your dreams, get earning.
Earning is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period.
Listen, you know, when you get earning, you can have a little special night out. You can go to the movies. That's what I would do with some of the money I got from earning. You know, maybe just take myself, get a big popcorn, the extra large drink, some pretzies on the side. Can't go without the pretzies.
Yeah.
Okay.
Need them pretzies. You know?
Maybe somebody invites you to the Oscars last minute. All of a sudden, you need a tux. You know? That happens to all of us.
Yeah, that's a common thing that happens to everybody.
Listen, download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store.
When you download the Earnin app, type in JUMP under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. JUMP. under podcast.
Subject to your available earnings, locations, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Will Arnett. We are inviting you to follow us as we go on tour and we take our podcast Smartless on the road. Join us and watch any boundaries we previously had disappear. Like you've never seen us before, you'll see us on the road, ordering lunch, roasting each other, and on stage as we surprise each other with a mystery celebrity guest in each city. Boy, that sounds amazing.
Welcome to Smartland!
Don't miss our new series, Smartless on the Road, streaming May 23rd, only on Max. Subscription required.
Priceline presents Go to Your Happy Price. What's up? It's Kaylee Cuoco. When it comes to travel, we all have a happy place. You can see yourself already there. It's beautiful. It might be sunny and sandy for some, neon and urban for others, deserts or rainforests or hiking trails. With Priceline, you can get to your happy place for a happy price with deals you really can't find anywhere else, like up to 60% off select hotels to Costa Rica or five-star hotels for two-star prices in Cabo. Go to Priceline.com and travel to your happy place for a happy price. All right, see ya. I'm off to Miami. No, actually, wow, look at that. No, I'm going to Hawaii now. Ooh, Cancun looks nice. You know what? Belize looks pretty nice this time of year. Or, Palm Springs.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So, you open Google Chrome on your phone. You're hunting for a super rare first edition vinyl of a band you're obsessed with. When you're supposed to be working. But this site you tapped on seems pretty shady. And Daryl from IT just jumped up from his desk. Oh no, he's coming your way. It's a good thing built-in malware protection keeps you safe and sound. Not from Daryl, though. Sorry. There's no place like Chrome. Download Google Chrome on your phone.
I feel like this movie is probably one of the only movies I can think of, like, a couple of distinctive moments where, like, this movie... this is a good damn movie. Like, at the very beginning, because I feel like everyone who's grown up around the way has had this moment. You find, like, your girlfriend in the neighborhood. It's like, oh, let's kiss now. But you're still combative.
Cute. He was counting it off. Yeah. I was like, oh.
And they start fighting right afterwards.
Wait, what was your first kiss like?
My first kiss was, like, not even, like, the best thing at all. Like, my first kiss, it was with a girl that was older than me. And it was like, oh, y'all dating now.
How old were you?
Got a kiss. I was in, like, fifth grade. She was in, like, seventh. Or something like
that. Oh, damn, Gerard.
Nah, but it was like, it's not what I wanted at all. Cause it was like, oh, y'all got a kiss now. So it wasn't like I'm about to get my first kiss and it's like us hanging out. It's like we're in the middle of a circle of people watching us about to kiss. And I'm like, yo, I don't even know what I'm doing right now. And I'm trying to pretend like I know what's up. So it's like,
time out.
I want to tell you.
The middle of a circle and people were watching you.
It was like I would never forget it because where I sat in my classroom, I sat near a chalkboard.
Yeah.
And so the girl I was dating at the time, or whatever you call it in high school, would always write notes on the wall.
Yeah.
So like anytime I came back to my seat, it'd be like a little note on the wall or whatever. So it was like,
wait, wasn't this girl in seventh grade?
Yeah, but like the way I went to like a very small school.
Okay.
So it was like my homeroom. You know, we would leave and then that room would become like the English room then whatever. So you would be there the beginning of the day and the end of the day. So when I would come back at the end, it would be like a little note. And it was like, oh, hang around like in the backyard. Me and my boy went in the backyard and it's like her and her friend. But then it's like her and her friend, then their friend, then our other boy came. So now it's like this whole thing.
Yo, this is like a PG Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah, it was like crazy. So it wasn't, for me, it wasn't the best, like, exciting time.
Kiss her.
Yeah. And it's like, and the thing is, if I did it bad, and now I got the older people making fun of me, because like, I didn't know what the hell I was doing.
Wow, that's traumatic.
Yo, and it was,
no wonder you don't kiss girls today.
Yeah, it's like, I don't kiss people in the mouth like that, man. It's like, I got mouth anxiety. What was yours like, BB?
I was like freshman in college. It was really late.
Me too.
Really?
My first kiss was for a scene in a short, like a student film. Phoebe, you go.
Yeah, you go. No, wait, Jules was like, we don't come back to that. Phoebe, tell me yours.
No, I mean, I went to like a predominantly white high school. So like I never got asked out or anything. So I ended up going to like Pratt Institute, and I liked this guy, but then he had this girlfriend. So he was like, oh, you should hang out with my friend. So like we hung out. He was like really nice, and then like we kissed, and I was just kind of like, all right. Like,
like this is how it happens.
Yeah, it was fine. It was like nothing remarkable. I'm sorry. I wish it was like more exciting.
The play around and fight after.
Yeah, but I was just like, You're not your friend.
You're not the one I want. You're not the one I want.
That's hilarious.
And you kissed somebody for a movie.
For a student. It was just like a student film.
Did you get a boner?
NYU. What?
Did you get a boner?
Did you?
I don't remember. I don't think so.
That's so awkward when you get a boner when you kiss somebody for like a project or a movie or something. It's like, yo, I'm sorry. I don't know.
I wouldn't think so. If you don't.
It's offensive, right?
Right. If you just like, I'm mad chill, you're like, what? I'm not cute at all.
Yeah. It's like, it's like there's no way to win.
So you need to have like a half chub.
Yeah. Nobody okay. Okay. But you got to control the chub. There you go. Control the chub.
The what?
No, listen. Listen, because you know sometimes like if you dance with, oh my God. Oh, snap. Oh, high school.
I definitely got.
When you dance with somebody.
When I was in high school dancing with girls.
Yeah, but it was like, but the thing is that sometimes I heard some of my female friends make fun of the dude with the hard on. So it's like, you got to control the chub. Like, you got to let him know you there and you present, but you're not just a freak with a hard on.
I heard you just like tuck underneath your like.
Oh yeah. I tuck in the waistband all the time.
How do you do that?
Oh, because what you got to do. You want to explain it? Because I perfected it's, this.
I don't know what details you need to talk about.
It's pretty self-explanatory.
What you do sometimes,
if you could do that, but what I like to do, because I went to a Catholic school, so we had the uniform, so if you had a boner, people could see you. So I put my hand in my pocket and try to get it halfway up, and then I would do a little fake squat and try to wiggle it up so it's like perfectly tucked under the belt.
Oh my God.
You know what I'm saying? Because I feel like you can't dig in there, because you got a button up on, so you got to take out your shirt.
You just let your hard on.
This roll.
It was there. It wasn't like comedically like sticking out. It was like in my pants.
You
didn't
even try to hide.
I know, but that's
no.
Awkward,
but you know what's so
Jonathan?
Funny is that I didn't really, because I was just like, what? Because in my mind, I was like, this happens. Like, it's like a fart or whatever. Like, yeah, it's a little bit embarrassing.
You ain't walking around with boners.
You ain't walking around with no boners.
It's aggressive, but it's a natural bodily function.
But if the person does not want a boner and you have one. That is an aggressive action towards them.
Dude, if we were in a circle right now, like in the hallway, all three of us are talking, and you got a boner, bro. That's not okay.
First of all, you can't. It's not like.
Sometimes you know, bro. You know somebody got a boner.
Why are you looking at my pants?
I'm not trying to look at your pants.
Why
you got
are you
a
looking
boner?
At my crotch like that? It's not like I'm coming up and thrusting myself. Onto
my thing is if you,
every person I see.
If you're walking down the hallway, I'm looking at you as a whole. And I'm like, hey, there's some shit going on.
You have to be specifically looking and be like, oh, is that a wallet?
Does he have a phone? What is happening to his pants?
I remember my friends. I remember one of my friends telling me, like, my friend Kyle was like making fun of some other guy because they were like, yeah, he's got a boner and he's dancing with these girls. Like, can you believe that? And I remember in my mind going like, oh shoot, I do that all the time.
Yo, but it's interesting because I remember there was a dude who was older than me in high school. He was like, I was like a freshman. He was maybe like a junior. And he was like, he used to rock sweatpants to parties. Just so like.
That's too intense.
Just like people. I can't remember what he said, but just so people knew. So I had this philosophy and it's probably so dumb. Please don't judge me, but I kind of still keep it in my head. All you need to get through life as a man is confidence and a hard dick. That was like, to me, like that was the motto to get you through life. It's like, if you were scared, fake it and just pretend like get that heart. Like, it's so dumb. I'm not saying it's smart.
That's what's wrong with men everywhere.
I'm not saying you got to like be rude. I'm just saying confidence in yourself and a hard dick. Cause it's like, you don't want no man that's not confident,
sound
right?
Rude.
Right.
Confidence in a hard dick.
Right.
I'm not saying smack somebody with the dick. I'm just saying it's for you. the hard dick is for you, and the confidence is for you.
How was Sanaa Lathan in this?
She is perfection.
Oh my God,
I
love Sanaa Lathan, bro.
So now, what do you think? Because we were talking about like, yeah, she had a couple of films after, but like, do you think her film career has matched her skill level?
No,
but I mean, she stays working, and that's the important thing,
right?
I mean, yeah, I wish she was, you know, on a level of like Kerry Washington or Taraji. But yeah, I feel, you know, she was in the Best Man Holiday.
Was she in that?
Wait, no, it was Nia Long. I'm thinking Nia Long.
She was in,
yeah.
She might have been, because in Best Man,
she was the girlfriend of Taye Diggs that, like, was coming at some point.
I don't know
if she was in the sequel.
Yeah, but she works a lot, and, I mean, I think most actresses of color don't have careers that match their skill level. Right. And I agree. I think white actresses, once they hit 40, their careers don't match their skill level.
Yeah,
with like very, very small few exceptions.
Yeah.
But yeah, for sure, because like she was in Out of Time, which is probably Denzel's worst movie.
Oh, by
I didn't
far
watch
his
that.
By far his worst.
Like
movie.
That movie is.
Brown Sugar?
But Brown Sugar is kind of a black film.
It is. Yeah, it for sure is. It for sure is. Sure.
And she was in Alien vs. Predator, and she was the lead.
She was the lead.
Did you ever see that movie?
I saw it like when you do laundry at a laundromat. Yeah. So I saw part of it then.
She almost had sex with a predator in that movie.
That movie was so bad.
She almost had sex. She almost kissed a predator in that movie. Maybe he we'll like do he that scars movie. Her.
Well, that because the predator's black because he's got basically, the dreadlocks.
Yeah,
so,
I mean,
yeah.
He brands her at the end when they like team up together. He like gives her a little like acid thing on her face.
Right.
He claimed her.
All right. Any other better movies than that trash?
No.
Like, is she working right? Like, what is she? What is this on IMDb?
So right now,
there's
some movie called The Perfect Guy.
Oh yeah, that looks good.
Oh,
but that looks good like in a Lifetime way.
The Perfect Guy. Oh, the one with Michael Ealy.
That's with Michael Ealy.
Yeah.
Yo, listen, man, I love
but
me
that's
Lifetime, bro.
That's one of those movies where I'm like, I think no, that should be for everybody.
I mean, the thing is, it's so tricky because I feel like the guy who does those movies, I can't think of his name, the producer, he's out of Atlanta.
She was in The Best Man Holiday.
She was?
Yeah.
I thought so.
Because, like, that producer does a lot of, like, it's mainstream movies, but it's all black. Like, he did that Obsessed movie with, like, Idris and Beyonce. He also
that was funny.
Yeah, he also did Ride Along, the producer who's doing this new movie she has. Yeah. So I think we're getting into that territory of, like, black people producing their own, but just...
Yeah.
Which is so sad. Like that's what Gina Prince Bythewood talked about was like, it's like nobody's making these films for us. Like we have to make them for ourselves. But then Hollywood will brand it a FUBU film because they're like, oh, it's a black cast, so that means black people are the only people who are going to want to see this. And instead of it just being like, no, this is a regular movie. This is a good movie with a good script and great acting that has universal themes. And it's not like, yes, there were like, in this movie, in Love and Basketball, we haven't talked too much about it, but in this movie, there were like small, like black cultural elements, like the hair, like,
I love that part,
which was awesome, but it wasn't like, oh, if you don't understand this, you can't relate. You know what I mean? Like black people have to sit through movies with like white, like,
and also you just
culture.
Fucking figure it out.
It's just a movie.
Exactly.
It's
just
like,
a movie.
Look, I don't smoke pot. But I've seen hundreds of freaking stoner films, and I'm like sitting there like, I don't understand what's going on. Of course I understand it. Like you sit through, you understand it. It's like, oh, this is a new kind of experience. Like when I saw the movie Trainwreck, there was like a joke about there was some period type of joke, and I was like, there was a specific to it that I was like, I don't know exactly what they're talking about, but I know it's fun. Like I can, from the cues of the audience that I'm sitting around and like how they're playing it in the movie, I was like, oh, I know that this is funny.
Right.
And I'll probably go and ask like specifically, wait, what was happening there? Oh, that, oh, cool. You know what I mean? It's like the idea that you can't sit through it because, oh, these are black people, so we don't get what's going on.
Right.
It's so ridiculous.
Well, people in power are always the ones who don't think they have to exert the energy to understand anything that doesn't exactly reflect their lives.
Yeah.
So... You know, I mean, when I wrote on Girl Code and I wrote a sketch that ended up getting made, it was just about a visit to the gynecologist. And so the show was produced by two guys, but the writer's room was like run by a woman. It was mostly just female writers and like one guy.
Right.
And so when she like submitted all of the sketches included one I wrote about the gyno, the guys were like, I don't get it. They're like, why? Why would this be funny? And it's like, you know, you're working on Girl Code, right?
Wow.
Like, you should fucking look it up.
Yeah. That's tough. I worked for the Guy Code, so that happens. Because there's no, for instance, with Guy Code, ain't no black people on the staff but me. And to Sean, give you a shout out to Sean, ain't no other black people. And that, so it's like half the stuff, the sketches they do, I'm like, I like, but it's like, hey, Ryan, Hire Brother Ryan. Hmm. Don't get it twisted, Ryan. I know you're going to listen because you listened to the first one.
Yeah.
Hire Brother Ryan. There's a scene that I feel like was probably one of the most realistic losing of the virginity of all time.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
So this movie almost got an R rating. They had to cut that scene back.
So what did they cut out? Was it they cut out thrusting motion?
Yep. Yeah, had to be the thrust.
The last one was a thrust.
Had to be the thrust.
Isn't that so weird? The MPAA is so weird.
No, because I feel like the thrust says a lot, because I feel like anytime you see those movies, and it's like, if, again, it was written by a dude, it's usually like pounding, and it's always like, it's always missionary, and it's always like the dude's back. And you're just basically looking at the female's face.
Yeah.
So it's like that.
It's like first person. So the guy can be like, oh, that'd be me fucking Kate Beckinsale.
Oh my God. She's enjoying it so much. Yeah.
That's true.
And then also this scene, the director had to fight for, because it didn't look enjoyable once Omar's character like penetrated, because it was her first time. So it's like, it's that.
It hurt.
You know?
Yeah. It's that pleasure pain.
Yeah. It's like
pleasure
that. Pain. Oh, oops. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Those are the sounds that.
Yeah. It's like that's what you.
But
do.
It's felt realistic. I think it's realistic. It's probably one of the most realistic, like losing your virginity.
Yeah,
scene,
and that
like,
was important to Gina to make for her to make that kind of scene, and she did, even though she it like pained her to like cut it out as much as apparently she. Had
I don't even remember losing my virginity. I don't have any, because I was older.
I was 24. How old were you?
It was the summer from
July.
Drop. Were you drugged by Bill Cosby?
Yo, listen, bro. Don't say the C word on the show. Stop saying the C word on this show, okay? You said it like 5 times.
That was the first time it was messed up, though.
Like, no, man. I was like, what is it? I graduated high school, going into college. So it was somewhere in that. Man, I don't remember, man.
Oh, yeah, so you like do, 19, you liar.
No, I don't.
Everyone
I don't remember
remembers
the exact,
when they lost their virginity.
I don't, because I remember, like, as a dude, I thought I was super old. Mm-hmm. So I tried to pretend like it wasn't my first time.
I remember
trying to make it like a thing, because.
But you were probably horrible.
Yeah. Oh, but this is my thing. It's like, this is going to sound so dumb. Okay. But I remember, like, in high school, I used to read, like.
Penthouse?
No, I used to read, like.
Playboy?
Tantric art book.
Oh, like Kama Sutra?
Yeah, I used to read like tantric art books. And so like, so embarrassing.
You were trying to do that stuff.
It wasn't that. I was just trying to, because it was my first time, so I was trying to prolong long enough that it wouldn't be too bad. You know what I'm saying? I think I was trying to get to like 7 minutes. I was
so
like,
did you hit 7 minutes?
I think I pulled it off.
I feel like that's a long time for
the first time. Yeah, for the first time. So I was trying to pull it off, but it's also really one of those things.
That's super.
But I don't think it was. I don't think it was good at all, because it was like those times of like you're going, then you take that long pause, and you just try to like do other stuff, and then trying to wrap up. And so it was like, in my head, I can't think of it being pleasurable for her. Annoying. So I was like, I can't think of it being pleasurable for her. I hate when
guys do that. It's like, just fucking learn how to hold it.
Yeah, you know, I was like, ah. So it was not. But this movie made losing your virginity like so. It was with your best friend that you loved, but you didn't say it yet.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, oh, that was cool.
So like, you're 19. Jonathan, how are you?
Still got it.
Wait, what? For real?
For real?
No.
Yeah, man. Y'all know I'm Christian.
I know, but
I
still,
didn't know
like,
you
I
were
mean,
Christian.
I'm the man.
Good
for you, man.
Oh, thank you. I'm 26 years old.
I thought she was a hoe.
Just to remind.
I'm not going to. I thought Bill was a hoe.
I'm not going to get into the specifics. I'm not a full.
Okay. I get
virgin.
I got you.
But yes.
So you've done like everything, but.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into the specifics.
Why not? Who cares?
We're learning.
Yeah.
My parents are definitely listening to this.
Oh,
podcast.
Gotcha. Okay.
Okay.
No, man, but that's the thing. I feel like as a man, I feel like that's
you're
such
Russell
a,
Wilson. That's great.
Yeah.
You're in a good class of people.
Thing. Thanks, guys.
No, I mean, dude, I mean, like, as I told you, at 19, I felt like terrified that I hadn't had sex yet.
Yeah.
I was legit like worried, like, oh man, I'm gonna get made fun of if I tell like the girl. Like, I just felt like it was just a thing.
Oh, yeah.
That I was
I guess, I mean, like, my first kiss was like we were saying, it was in like college, and then any time that I kissed someone, I never was like, oh, I've never like really kissed a girl before.
Yeah, that's what you're saying.
So anything that I did, it was at a time where people thought I should know how to do this already.
Did you have a magic Phoebe? Did you have a magical like losing your virginity?
Did I have a magic what?
A magical losing your virginity? Was it like?
I mean, I don't know if I would call it magical, because, like,
magical.
No, I'm saying some people have that.
Did a fairy come down and anoint you?
No, it wasn't like, you know, a boyfriend for like 3 years or whatever. And then I was like,
take.
Yeah, it wasn't like that. But like, it was like a very, it was very, really, he's a really nice guy. Mm-hmm. I'll see him like every once in a while. Like, but yeah, it was like a really super sex positive first experience. So yeah, I think I have a pretty healthy outlook.
Because in this movie, Sanaa Lathan, like, she chose, like, basically when they were having sex, she was like, yo. Yeah.
It's so great. It's like, so feminist and baller.
Absolutely.
I loved it.
But also, I feel like dudes like that too, though. It's like, I feel like if a woman is taking charge, it's like, cool. Like, I'm a roll with the punches here.
So you want to go to be like, come on.
Thing is, it'd be cool. Yeah, it's like, it's like she's running the show. It's not just like me being.
Yeah.
So I feel like sometimes as a dude, sometimes like we not become aggressive, but like we become like leading everything. Where it's like, yo, man, this is a partnership. Let's time share this. Like, you know, like I'm gonna do my job when it's time, but you can set me up to clock in. You know, like let's do this together.
So, the strip basketball scene.
Oh, that's
amazing.
That's great.
So good.
So good.
The perfect blend of love and basketball.
Perfect, man.
The perfect blend.
And the thing is, they both were like attractive people, like Sanaa Lathan, even though they try to make her like a tomboy.
Yeah.
But like she was like gorgeous. And it's like just seeing them like strip. I'm like, man. I mean, first off, that scene where like they're making her look pretty for the dance early in the movie, I'm like, basketball players are hot. Okay. What's the basketball player now? Oh my God. What is her name? There's a female basketball player right now. She's kind of young.
Howard, just kidding.
No, Brittany.
Brittany Griner.
I don't know her name.
She's like the 7 foot.
But yeah, I'm kidding.
Her.
But there are a couple
from Baylor, right?
Cuties.
What is this girl? She's super hot. I'm gonna figure out her name. But like,
which also like also, I mean, so that was great, and then it matched amazingly with the end of the film where they're playing for his heart or whatever, and Gerard, did you?
Oh,
cry?
Okay. All right, guys. So yeah, man.
Way I have to talk about this though. The best was that Gerard, when we were watching this movie before he watched.
Oh, you guys watched it together?
No, we didn't watch it. We didn't watch it together. But like when we picked this movie and Gerard started watching it, he texted me and he was like, "Yo, man, I ain't got a girl over here." He was mad at me because he wanted to have a girl over to watch this movie with because it was so emotional.
Well, no, because the thing is, I realized, like, watching it, because, again, like, every black woman I know is like, you got to watch Love and Basketball. And I put it off for so long. And so I had to watch this movie, like, early in the week. So I was home by myself. And it's like, instantly, I'm talking about after they started wrestling, I was like, damn, man, I'm watching this by myself.
Aww.
And I almost like, sent the text out. But I was like, that's messed up. Because I'm just, like, sending out feelers.
You got to tweet at Black Man Podcast.
You know, listen, you got to
watch Love and Basketball with your eyes so you can feel fulfilled.
Hell yeah. But no, the part, I'm not going to lie, I did tear up. Because, like, but I cry. I'm like, I'm a grown man. I can cry. But, like,
why
the part.
Why are you getting mad at me all of a sudden?
I'm saying I looked at you. I don't know why I looked at you. I don't know why I looked
mad,
over there.
Real mad.
But, like,
just so you know, though, I don't cry that much.
I do. I mean, look,
really?
Like, I really don't.
I have no emotions.
I cry often. But when she's like when they get aggressive and then he just starts winning, and because I never saw the movie, so I thought like this is one of those movies that it could end on a sour note, like because it's that realistic. It could.
What was that, man? It was getting real depressing.
It was
for
getting
a minute.
Real. It was getting real real.
Yeah, like she was like she got went in with her mom and her mom was like weighing in on her, but it was like back and forth. You're like, man, this. I don't know. Like if they're both messed up, like like him and his dad, and like she like quit like. Playing out there because she wanted to play, but she was so lonely. Mm-hmm. Like, not just because of no
she came
guy,
back
but
to work
she
at a bank.
Family or friends. Yeah, she came back to work at a bank. He got injured. Yeah, this movie seemed. And then, like, that was a really emotional scene. So.
And then he wins, and, like, she's, like, just sad as hell, and he's like, what about double or nothing?
Double or nothing.
I was like, oh! And the thing is, I felt like I was in a movie. You know how sometimes you go see a movie and it's like people just screaming? Yeah. I was like, oh, we did it! We did it!
Yeah.
You're not an asshole!
Because
up to that point, he was a dick.
Yeah.
Like, he was, to be honest, like, he was a dick. Like, even like when she came back and they saw each other again,
right.
He's like, what are you doing? I haven't seen you, blah, blah, blah. He pointed out every time he contacted her, she denied him. His girlfriend, Tyra Banks, fiance, shows up. He barely introduces her. It's like, yo, like, this dude's an asshole. Then he stalks her for a little bit. It's like, man, what the? You crazy.
So wait, were you happy that she got with him?
I mean, the thing is, I was happy because I felt like that was one of those instances where, and I feel like this happens a lot. I feel like women
upgrade men, and it's kind of vice versa. Not necessarily. I feel like sometimes men don't always raise
men,
their women up.
Men downgrade.
I feel, I mean, but the thing is, I feel like it's true though, because you touched on it earlier. It's like women are expected to, like, you know, support the man. We're like, men actually don't do it to the women. So I feel like in a relationship, women will upgrade a dude. Right. And I feel like it's very rare that a man will upgrade a woman. Like, usually the woman comes in higher status, like emotionally, like education. It's like she's usually better than him. Mm-hmm. And it was good to me because, like, this dude wasn't better. Like, he wasn't better than her.
No.
She's a better basketball player. Yeah. She was a smarter person. I feel like
him... I don't know if she's a better basketball player than him, though.
You think?
No, I think they were same.
He was kind of better.
I think he was a little bit better.
Oh, okay.
But he just injured himself.
Yeah.
But he also didn't get any clock, is what they kept pointing out. It's like he should have stayed in college. I guess he came out of
there. He's too tiny.
But she fought. But it was like she fought for that relationship. Yeah. She fought for everything. Like, he did. You didn't get the sense that he had to fight as much. His dad was an NBA player. Like,
yeah, I get that.
He kind of had that thing going. So, like, she had to fight for everything. And it was, like, seeing that, it's like, oh, men can see themselves in her.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just as, like, and women had an amazing, like, one of, like, the very few, like, role models to be like, oh, this is a woman who's fighting for everything. Whereas typically you usually see men are the ones who, like, fighting for things, where she had to fight for that relationship, even though, you know what I mean. So I thought that was great. And this movie was the first time I realized that I didn't even realize, like, the WNBA wasn't a thing until like 96.
When she first wrote it, the WNBA didn't exist.
She had to change the ending, which was a much happier ending because it was like a happier, like, oh great, now the WNBA finally. It was like this little tiny subplot of, like, women who are great at basketball had to go overseas so that they could actually be respected and, like, earn the money that they, like, should be making. Mm-hmm. Even that's not even true. Like, they're still making less than men, but, like...
They were stars.
But they were stars. They at least got to play on a professional level, whereas, like, it was just, like, women just had to play college ball, and then and you don't get paid for that, and then after that, you're done.
And it was, like, very, like, subtle. It was, like, just... It was in that conversation between her and her rival... When they sat, which is so interesting because it was just like the two of them.
Yeah,
they were just sitting down talking, you know, and, like, briefly the scene starts with them talking about, have you had sex with any dudes here? But it goes into, like, just playing ball and life after college, which I thought was really cool.
Right.
It started off talking about a dude. Even the scene with Sanaa and her mom started off talking about a dude, but it morphed into, like, their relationship.
Right.
So it was good seeing Sanaa's character have a relationship with her mom.
With other women.
Yeah. The other women. And then also, like, her sister.
Yeah.
And then, like, you know,
there was that one other girl in the college who said she was going to go to international, and she was like, didn't know if she wanted to because she just didn't know if she wanted to leave her family and friends behind. You're like, man, that's
real.
That's such a hard decision to force somebody to make. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's a weird thing.
At Kroger, we know the minute a tomato is picked off the vine, the fresh timer starts. The sooner we get our produce to you, the fresher it is. That's why we've completely overhauled our process to shorten the time from harvest to home for our tomatoes, strawberries, and salads. Because we know how much you love fresh produce, we give you more time to enjoy your tasty fruits and veggies at home. So whether you're shopping in-store, picking up, or prefer delivery, we're committed to bringing you the freshest produce possible. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey, this is Tim Heidecker, and I'm glad to be back in Glendale, California, in the studio with my good friends DJ Doug Pound and Vic Berger for another episode of our podcast, Office Hours Live. This week we had a very special guest, Hiss Golden Messenger, who played a beautiful tune for us. We laughed, we had fun, and you should tune in to Office Hours Live this week, and quite frankly, every week on your podcast app of choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live.
Cool. So we're going to get into the swirl.
Oh, yeah. Let's talk about this swirl, y'all.
Phoebe.
This is the thing.
You got to explain what the swirl is.
All right. So listen, Phoebe, the swirl is a segment I like to do every week.
Okay.
Because I feel like black men are in movies. And sometimes I feel like we're attractive people, you know? And I feel like we're never considered like a sex symbol. So it might be a movie where, you know, you got Eddie as a lead. It's a beautiful white woman in the movie. And she does not have sex with Eddie. I need to see them have sex, hug, dry hump on camera.
Okay, what you're saying is you just want to see, because there are tons of black movies where the black guy is obviously the sex symbol.
Yeah,
you just want to see a white lady.
I want a white lady to fuck a black dude without it being her wanting to fuck a black dude. You know what I'm saying? I want her to be like, oh, I'm trying to get a taste of chocolate today. I want her just to fuck this dude because he's attractive. You know?
Right.
Got it.
So I do this every week. To see, like, oh, if the lead has a hot white chick as his co-star, does he have sex? In this movie, Love and Basketball, because it's a love story, there is no white women really in it but the coach of Sanaa's team. But I feel like there is a perfect scene for him to have sex with a white woman. So, let's travel back.
Phoebe's looking very confused.
What's this scene?
Let's travel back in time, okay? So, during the movie, with Quincy, Omar Epps' character, like, he finds out his dad cheats. So now he goes to Sanaa. Sanaa's not, like, she's focused. She has a curfew. So he goes out to a club, and he sees
this
other...
him to go fucking white... Hit me out!
So, like, he goes out, and he's trying to make Sanaa jealous. So he finds this other black woman, who is a great actress. She's also in Best Man and all that good stuff. But to me, it's like, to make a black woman mad, you fuck a white girl. Okay? I feel like that's what you do. So I'm gonna make my black women mad. Phoebe. I'm gonna go out and find, no, not just a white woman. I'm gonna find a big booty, blonde, white woman. And I feel like he could have went to the club, found his Iggy Azalea, okay, took her home.
You know,
and
her,
you know what?
Butt is fake.
Listen, it don't matter at a certain
point.
So
you just want a white chick who's trying to look like a black chick, but still has white skin. Way more about you.
No, hear me out. Hear me out. My thing is, if you're going to have a sex with a white woman, he could have found her in that club. Mm-hmm. They could have went back, and instead of going to breakfast in the morning, he could have had her make French waffles or something. Like,
French,
oh, do you want some of these
the
French
hell
waffles?
Are you talking about?
Do you want some of these French waffles?
Yeah, you mean French toast?
No, I want
there French
waffles.
There is French toast and there are Belgian waffles. French toast and Belgian waffles.
You never had no French waffle?
What are you? There is
no
such
thing as a French waffle.
Y'all never had a French waffle?
No, there's no such thing as a French waffle.
A French waffle is a little bit flatter than a Belgian waffle. It's a little bit. It's like a Waffle House waffle or a Roscoe Chicken waffle. That makes sense.
You're talking about some fake ghetto waffle.
That makes sense. It's a little bit wider. It's just a little bit wider, and you can eat more of them. It's like
a French waffle is absurd.
A buttermilk French waffle. If she had made that buttermilk French waffle, so now I'd have been like, I ain't eating this shit.
Oh, all right,
and then she'd have walked out, and then Quincy would have been extra fucked up for having sex with the white girl and getting a French waffle because it's not a Belgian waffle, and it's, you could have made pancakes.
All right, you know what? I'm tired of listening to drop.
This is
Phoebe,
absurd.
Phoebe, can you do it?
Oh, baby, you want to do a swirl?
If you want to do a swirl, can you do a swirl for Sanaa? Because she is
the
actual star of this film.
She did a swirl in Something New.
Yes, but I'm talking about this movie. Let's talk about this movie because I think there's a perfect...
There's no white men in the
movie. There's no white men in the movie, but Jirai invented a white woman in this movie.
Oh, I could be like, I know what she could have sex with.
Where could she have had sex?
I think she could have had sex with a white man in this movie.
I think so too.
I think she could have did it when she was in
Spain. Dick Vitale?
She was in Spain. She better not fuck Dick Vitale. She better not. Could you imagine that? He had fucking announced the whole thing.
Oh, baby, we're doing it!
Look at that diaper dandy!
Oh, I'm in!
Drop, that is a terrible.
What are you talking about? That's it!
I'm in!
Come on, guys, we're doing it.
Boom, baby!
No, we're not doing it. That's not how we do it.
So you mean just have her like bang like a hot Italian dude?
Yeah,
I think she could. I think she could when she was over there.
I'm sure she did.
She could have been over in it. No, she said she didn't. She's like, I ain't feeling these Spanish, man.
She could have got a caramel or something. Maybe a little butterscotch.
Nice.
She could have a little caramel.
Anyway.
Bow, 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 bow.
Or how about you not specifically try to, and I'm saying someone who's ex-boyfriend. White, not specifically try to find someone.
I mean, I agree with that, but I feel like in the day and age, I feel like white dudes are taking our sisters, man.
To defend Gerard,
I love
this point, we're just highlighting it because Hollywood actually has a problem showing like a black man and a white woman having sex on screen.
Well, it's not a thing, but it's not a race thing.
Yeah, there's many sex scenes.
Let's just talk about the movie Hitch.
He didn't have.
They did not.
Oh, for a second, I thought you were going to talk about Hancock, and I was like, "Did James III get to this woman?"
No, they did not want Will Smith to have a black female.
Yes,
love interest.
That is true.
So they were like, "We'll give you Cameron Diaz because she looks white, even though she's...
It was Eva Mendez.
It was Eva Mendez.
But they were initially courting Cameron Diaz.
Yeah, they were trying to get Cameron Diaz.
And they didn't want her to be white.
No, they didn't want a black
man and a black woman.
A black woman. They were like, we're not going to look at any black actresses.
Which is another, because there's so many freaking race problems in Hollywood.
Yeah. Also
they didn't want a black woman because if there was a black man and a black woman in the lead, then that's a black film.
Nobody's going to want to watch it. Nobody wants to.
That's what happened in Out of Time. We spoke about Sanaa Lathan, who's also in Out of Time. Sanaa Lathan, basically, Eva Mendez's character in that movie was supposed to be a black woman. I don't know if it was going to be Sanaa Lathan, but because of the same thing, they're like, oh, we can't have Denzel and someone else.
So we get replaced by these fucking Latina chicks.
Yeah.
Look at all the music videos now. They're all Latinas and white ladies.
That's true. Latinas have their own problems. They got their own problems. You got to try, but that's it. That's that intersectionality of freaking racism happening in Hollywood. There's all these things. You're just like, damn, like, man, we got so much to work in. Well, I know, so 2015.
It's crazy because the thing is, even thinking about it right now, it's like, yeah, we're talking about black women and black men in this movie. But like, again, I bring it up. Like, what movie has two Asians led? Like, do we have an Asian superstar, male or female, in America?
I think the closest is
that Ang Lee movie that came out.
Life of Pi?
No, it was, I
don't remember the name of it, but I think it initially had like an NC-17 rating because there was some racy sex scenes. I haven't seen the movie. I wish my cell service worked on it, but if you IMDb Ang Lee, it'll be.
Yeah.
Because that's my thing.
Slumdog Millionaire, but that's not, I mean, that was.
Oh my God, that movie was so good.
No, that movie was so good. But the thing is, it's tricky because like, I feel like in the black community as well, we have a lot of things just to work on amongst ourselves, just like color-wise, because I feel like we're very color-oriented in our community. It's like, like, I always talk about, like, growing up, is like, black girls didn't like me because they want a light-skinned dude so they can have good hair.
Not Crouching Tiger Hidden.
No, not Crouching Tiger.
Give me your
Lust Caution?
Yeah, that's the movie.
Lust Caution?
Yes.
I've never heard of that.
But none of the leads are, like, superstars, but it was, like, two agents.
Yeah, because it's
and
crazy.
Having like.
Yeah, and Ang Lee had to do
intense
it.
Sex.
Yeah. Ang Lee had to do it.
Okay, we're not talking about Hancock.
No, we're never. James is here. We're not talking about that movie.
James the Third.
So you're just mad because on Scandal, Kerry Washington fucks Scott Foley.
And another white dude on the show.
I mean, they're both hot though.
I mean, this is my thing. Don't get me wrong. I'm all about interracial dating. The only thing that's ever bothered me is that I feel like it's always been okay in movies for the white dude to date the black woman, but it's rare that you see the black dude dating a white woman. And it's like, I'm not trying to put white women on a pedestal, but to me it's like, until you see a black man and a white woman together and it's not about race, I feel like we will never see race, people as equals.
Right. Focus has happened, but
that movie's intense. I should not have seen that with my dad. That was awesome.
You still focused with your dad?
Yeah, it was like where I was home for 4th of July. And my dad was like, oh, I got this from, what is it, Redbox. And I was like, oh yeah, I haven't seen those watching. I was like, this is a comfortable. Wow.
But I do like that sex scene existed because it had nothing. It was just nothing to do about race.
We're going to get to the cause.
Oh, Phoebe, you got to tell people what the cause is.
Okay, so this is how we rate our movies because whatever, these films are great or some of them aren't. Oh, goodness. Anyway, we've done some
bad movies.
But
like a Barbershop. Barbershop's fun.
So listen, we're going to talk about the cause.
I mean, it's like a movie you can watch on like a lazy Saturday. Yeah, okay. That's what I mean. I get that.
So, but we review these films on the cause. Cause being promoting leading black actors in Hollywood in films that are one major motion pictures, not independent films. We understand that Spike Lee freaking. He championed this movie, but New Line Cinema also picked it up. And also, they're not like FUBU films, meaning like they're not supposed to be films that are only marketed towards black audiences. They're like universal type films. So we do either a Black Fist, which is like 100%
thumbs up. I guess.
A White Palm, like halfway, I guess, and then or nothing. So. On the count of three, we're going to throw up either what you felt like this film, how this film helped the cause. Like, did it fully help the cause? Did it kind of help the cause? Did it not help the cause? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Great. So on the count of three, we're going to throw up either a fist, a palm, or nothing. Ready, Jarrah?
I'm ready, man.
Phoebe?
Mm-hmm.
James, our producer?
He's ready. He's ready.
Here we go. 1, 2, 3.
Oh, we got three black fists.
That's three black fists.
We got three black fists.
So
of course,
that's right.
Man, we really get three
Listen
black
here,
fists.
Of course, we're going to do three black fists. I'm going to go first. I gave this movie a black fist because, first of all, Gina Prince Bythewood. I hope I'm saying her name right. Prince
Bythewood.
I think that's a boss.
She's a boss. This woman is incredible. It is such a crime that she has to fight so hard to make her movies. She kind of doesn't care about it because she's like, she's a fighter. She's going to do it no matter what. She likes fighting for putting, you know, making these type of films. Yeah. But she's like, she's a boss to women and she's a boss to minorities, especially black folk. She's putting black people in movies. She's giving them chances that other studios like won't give them. She's fighting for them specifically. She actually tweeted at Netflix recently.
Oh yeah, because they were throwing shade to Beyond the Lights.
Yeah, they like Beyond the Lights. Like if you liked Beyond the Lights, it was like more like this, and it was like black movies. Like instead of like, she was like, why isn't this like with like Notting Hill or other romantic, you know what I mean? Like or like sports drama kind of things. They were like putting her. It was like the only things that other films had in common were that they had all black cast.
Oh, that's messed up.
But that's like how, that is what happens. Like Hollywood and people in their minds, they just see that. It's just like, it's, we have programmed, Hollywood has programmed us to think like, if I see a movie poster and it's all black people, oh, that movie's for black people. It's not for me if I'm white, which is messed up. Like to think like, oh, maybe that movie, who knows what that movie's about? If just because you're seeing black faces or faces that are not white doesn't mean that the movie is not for white people. Anyway, this movie was just so excellently done. There were so many great moments in it. I love the fact that it was middle-class black families. I love that the fathers were there, that even though that one father cheated, like they're still there. Like they had like, and it wasn't like this, like these tropes that like, I think one of the reasons when she was trying to make this movie, it was hard for her to get made because they told her, so many studios told her, this movie isn't hard and, or it's not, it's too soft.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she was like, what does that mean? Oh, it's too soft because you're not talking about like gang violence and you know what I mean? Like, oh, this isn't Boys in the Hood. The only black films that we can promote are films that talk about gang violence and like living in the urban, like poor areas. Like, and it wasn't like real, you know what I mean? So anyway, that's why I gave this movie a fist.
Phoebe, what'd you think? Why'd you do it?
This is all that stuff. It was really well done, and it's a moving story, and all the characters were three-dimensional. It was a really good drama that makes you laugh sometimes. Yeah. I don't know. It's just like really cool, kind of like one-of-a-kind story that you haven't seen before that and haven't really seen since.
Yeah,
that's true. I mean, that's why I gave it a fist, because I was like, this is just a movie about two people. I feel like race, I mean, it might have been one or two comments on it, maybe, but I can't think of any right now. So it was like,
it didn't
play any point in this movie. Nope. It had a black female director, which, I mean, in all honesty, it's crazy to me that I only can really think of three black female directors right now. And it's like, that's sad as hell, because this movie was a hit when it came out. It was a big deal. I mean, if you look at the people in this movie, just the side characters, Tyra Banks is in this. Boris Cujo's in this movie. Gabriel Union's in this movie. And then, I feel so bad for not remembering her name, but the woman that Omar Epps, I guess, cheats with.
Oh, yeah, she was in Best Man Holiday. Yeah, have you seen that?
I haven't. I'm going to watch it.
I cried a lot.
But, like, she has been in a bunch of movies, and it's just interesting to me that you know, it was such a hard fight for her to get this movie made. And still, I feel like she had to fight to get Beyond the Lights made in 2014, which is crazy.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I just like that this movie just had... I like that Sanaa was the lead, and it didn't make her into the girl who acts like a dude. Mm-hmm. And I feel like a lot of people do that to make it edgy. It's like, oh, no, she just wants to play ball. She just wants to be one of the bros. Like, no, she played ball, but then she also had emotions. And then Omar Epps, even though his character started off as a dick, I feel like towards the end of the movie, he actually grew.
Mm-hmm.
And it was good to see, like, I mean, because as a man, like, if you would have met me when I was first in New York, I was an asshole to almost everybody. And it's like, you learn shit, you know? And I'm happy he learned, and I'm happy that it was a point where, like, her fight for him, he could realize it at one point. And it was like, I'm happy she kept fighting, and I'm happy he understood at one point that, like, man, I'm...
I need to listen to this woman, you know?
I also love at the end of how he's in the audience while she's playing basketball. Yeah, exactly,
with the kid.
And he's watching their baby.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude. Yeah. Watch that kid while I go to work. Bye.
Yeah, no, great. I mean, that's true. And it's like Ray Locke said, there was technically it's three black dads in this movie.
Three black dads.
And even the dad that cheats gave a fuck about it. So he really cared about his son, even though he messed up. So it's good to see. I mean, some people got dads, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's a thing.
Yeah, that's right, man. Cool.
Phoebe, thank you.
Thank you so much, Phoebe, for coming out.
I hope you guys enjoyed me.
Yeah, oh my girl, goodness. You got to stop playing.
Are you kidding me? This episode's probably like an hour and a half.
I'm excited about it because we learned about experiences.
Yeah, you know exactly. It was good. Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, man, we three black dudes talking about this stuff, but we need some more sisters in this place talking. And we also, I fully support other podcasts being made that talk about these issues. And like we said, like we brought up like Asians, Latinos, like we're dealing with one specific issue because that's our perspective. That's where we're coming from. But we do acknowledge and know that there are other fights that are happening simultaneously. All those fights need to happen at the same time. So,
right.
Right now, let's get to some plugs.
Some plugs.
Cool, cool, cool. So, Phoebe, would you like to plug anything?
Sure. So, the third Wednesday of every month at Union Hall in Brooklyn, Jessica Williams from The Daily Show and I run a stand-up show at 8 p.m. So you guys should come out to that.
Yes. That sounds amazing.
What's it called?
It's called Blaria, but we're going to change the name because we have some stuff in the works I can't talk about yet.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
But there is a big birthday show that we're doing because I turned 31 on September 28th.
Oh, snap.
So we're going to have like a huge birthday show at the Bell House.
Are we invited?
I know. Can we come?
Yes.
She was like,
No, of course you guys can come. So tickets have not gone on sale for that yet, I don't believe. But mark your calendar, September 28th, 8 p.m. at the Bell House. Me, Jessica Williams, special guest we can't list, Ooh. And then other people.
Oh, that sounds hot.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Great. And also I have a book coming out next year.
Oh, you know.
Congrats.
Thank you.
And can people follow you on Twitter?
Yes, at P. Robinson Comedy.
P. Robinson Comedy.
I hate it, but
someone took Phoebe Robinson, didn't they?
It's like some Asian girl has Phoebe.
Oh, that's not real.
Come on. A lot of these Asian girls taking our
Asian girls taking our Twitter.
Gerard, you got anything to plug?
You know, I'm not good with social media, so all I ask is that if you see me in the street, just ask me, you know, hey, what'd you have for breakfast this morning?
Why would you? So why
did you have a French waffle?
I didn't have a French waffle this morning. I got here really early for this taping, so I got a steak and eggs. But if you see me, you know.
Why did you say that sexually?
Why did I say sexually? I did.
And you like held eye contact.
You dropped your voice. You like
with our virginal Jonathan over here.
I wasn't trying to seduce him, man. I wasn't trying to say it in such a way. I was trying to say.
All right, so Gerard, for whatever reason, is bad at social media.
James, what are you?
Oh, did I
call
it.
You James?
It's the first time.
Oh, sorry. It's I called okay. you another black man. That's not here.
So you guys can follow me on Twitter at John Braylock. That's JonBraylock. JohnBraylock.com. I got some videos up. That's where my shows are. Me and Gerard always forget to plug this. Perform on a UCB Upright Citizens Brigade theater, a Lloyd team.
Lisa from school,
the East Village. That's every other Wednesday. So you can check UCB's website for that. That's also New York. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, but you guys can follow us on Twitter.
Oh, and you can follow us on Twitter at Black Men Podcast.
Oh, and don't forget...
or Instagram, Black Men Podcast.
Don't forget the hashtag, though, if you're on Twitter, for Giraffe, because I am single, so if y'all trying to get coffee, and we can talk about movies, you know, do it. So if you're trying...
We're not even doing anything. He's just laughing because he realizes how ridiculous.
And I felt nervous about this before. So like Phoebe said,
so thirsty.
It's, it's not even about thirst. It's just like thirst. I like to get no people. You know.
Okay, listen. Thirst. You can also rate, do us a huge favor. We've been like doing pretty well in the charts, iTunes charts since this came out. But we need to keep it up. So if you guys can please rate and review us on iTunes. tweet at us, like all this stuff. It's, it'll be so helpful, and we love to hear from you. We love to hear how you guys are enjoying it, and what other movies you want us to do, and all that good stuff.
Okay, hold up.
What the hell?
Hey,
James Third.
Yeah,
where'd you come from?
I had a feeling that you guys are gonna get my plugs wrong, so I just needed to show up.
So you just came at the end?
I just came at the end.
Yeah, Phoebe isn't here anymore.
Phoebe left. I'm gonna take care of this.
We recorded your plugs wrong.
Yes. So these are where you can find me online. James Third Comedy. Okay. All social media, JamesThirdComedy.com. Third is 3RD.
I thought your name was James the Third.
That is my name. But online it's just James Third. Just James. There's no the.
I'm confused.
What? This is not confusing.
Stop confusing the listeners.
This is not confusing at all. James Third Comedy.
James 3RD. 3RD Comedy.
Yes.
Great. Any other plugs? That's it?
That's it. That's all I have.
Cool, man. Guys, next week we are doing our first Sidney Poitier.
Poitier film.
In the Heat of the Night.
Yes.
In the Heat of the Night.
Can I do the famous line from it?
No.
No, you can't do it.
We're going to do it in the episode next week. But next week, we have a very special guest.
Wait, we got a guest next week, too?
We got a guest next week, too.
And we are going to tell you right now who it is on the count of three. Are you guys ready?
I mean, I don't know if I can do it. I feel the pressure.
But I'm ready.
Oh, my God. Okay, here we go.
1, 2, 3.
Keegan-Michael Key.
Drop it under the pressure.
I can't do it. Oh, my God.
Guys, Keegan-Michael Key from Key & Peele.
We got Key on the show.
Key.
We got Key.
From Mad TV, from Fargo. Man, they doing
Pitch Perfect 2. Goodness.
Upcoming movie, Keanu coming out in April.
Yes. Made an appearance on Wet Hot American Summer, the new ones.
That was Peele.
Oh, that was Peele.
You racist. You so racist.
That's the same to me. I won't say that to Key. Keegan-Michael Key is going to be on the show. So tell all of your friends.
Yes.
Let them know.
It's a very special Black Man Cast.
And it's one of the longest episodes we've ever
made. Oh, but it's good. It's all good stuff. It's all good. All
right. So In the Heat of the Night, check it out. You know, you can pay for it legally on like Amazon or iTunes.
I mean, or you could illegally.
There's an illegal YouTube version.
That is still pretty good.
I'm just
is
saying.
Is the whole thing illegally on YouTube?
The whole thing's pretty good quality.
On YouTube.
Why did I?
But 1967.
I told you we're on YouTube.
All right, let's get out of here because we did. All right, thank you guys. We'll see you next week with Key.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.
What's up, Black Men Can't Jump comic book fans? James III here to talk to you about my comic series, Junior, available now on Kickstarter. The Ghost with the Most Past Due Child Support is back in 4 brand new issues of this semi-autobiographical supernatural comic series. It's got all sorts of spooky hijinks for fans of Beetlejuice, The Good Place, and The Mummy, stuff like that, and features award-winning artists from Marvel, DC, Dark Horse, and more. It's available on Kickstarter through June 9th. Go to ruleof3inc.com or follow me at ruleof3inc on IG for more details. Donate today!